Steris. 2 days after detonation. On the second day of the city's recovery, Steris finally got to bring Waxillium home from the hospital. They limped out of Hoyd's car, Wax on crutches, then looked up at the enormous skyscraper that held their suite. Wax stared at it, his eyes faintly haunted.
"Thinking of the Shah?"
Steris asked softly. He nodded.
"On that rooftop, Wayne made me get him a spike. If I hadn't listened, he wouldn't have been able to push me away."
"So you could have done what?" she said gently. "Stayed with him to die? He knew what he needed to do."
Wax looked to her, and she saw the same pain in his eyes that she'd seen after Lessie's second death. Tempered this time, but haunting nonetheless. She hated seeing him in pain. It happened far too often.
"I should have at least said goodbye," Wax whispered. "He left the roughs because of me."
"And he lived because you gave him a second chance," Steris said.
As he was staring up at the roof, she covertly consulted her notes from the books on trauma she'd been reading.
"This wasn't your fault, Waxillium. You need to allow Wayne his agency. Allow him to have made his own choice. You would have sacrificed yourself for the city, we both know it. So let him have the same decision."
He was silent for a moment, and she tried, anxiously, to figure out what he was feeling. Was that scrunched-up face annoyance, or was it pain? Ruin, had she made it worse?
"You're right," he said softly, then blinked tears from his eyes. "You're right, Steris. I need to let him be the hero, don't I? Harmony, he really is gone."
She slipped her notebook into her pocket and held him close, ignoring the world around them. She dimmed everything else like an old gas lantern with a dial, turned it down until only the two of them remained, only the two of them mattered. He held to her, then took a long, deep breath.
"Marcy still doesn't believe he's gone. She thinks he's going to come sauntering back in a few months wearing a straw hat and telling us how great the fruity drinks are in the Malwish Consortium. But she's wrong. This time it's over."
"Yes," Steris whispered. "He's gone. But nothing is over, Wax. You said the same thing when Lessie died. It wasn't true then, it's not true now. It will take time for you to believe, but you can trust that it will happen."
He squeezed her hand.
"Again, you're right. How did you get so good at this, Steris?"
"I learned from Wayne."
"About helping people deal with pain?"
"No,"
she said, then slipped out her notebook.
"About cheating."
Waxillium smiled, the first genuine one she'd seen from him since the incident. Then he handed her his crutches and dropped a spent bullet casing to the ground.
"Oh," she said, "are you sure this is wise?"
"I might be getting old, but I'm not frail," he said, then grabbed hold of her. "You ready?"
"Always," she said, feeling an exquisite thrill from anticipating the flight.
She leaned into him. He propelled them upward, using the metal installations he'd had erected here to give him a series of appropriate anchors. A rushing, exhilarating ascent with wind in her hair, and the insignificant world became more tiny, until it was only the two of them and the sky. Wax landed them carefully on the platform outside their suite. As he took back his crutches, Steris fished for her notebook.
"I think," Wax said, "I think I'm going to be all right."
"Good," she said, flipping a few pages. "I have a Wayne quote for the moment."
"A what?"
"I figured," she said, "it would be a way of remembering him, to keep a few appropriate lines handy." "Is that morbid?" "That's morbid, isn't it? I'm sorry."
"No," he said. "I mean, it might be, but he'd approve."
She grinned.
"Oi," she said. "Here you carried a girl all that way, mate, and you didn't grab her butt even a little?"
You just made that one up. She proffered the notebook, showing the line written there.
Well, I mean, Wax said, we've got to do as he says.
It's the only proper way to honor the dead.
He seized her then, pulled her into a kiss, her figure sculpting to his and pushing against him in all the right places. It felt amazing, like they were liquid, aligned, alive, alight. And yes, a proper butt grab was involved. It almost toppled them to the side, unbalancing Wax on his good leg. They broke the kiss before an accident could befall them, but stayed close.
Thank you, Wax whispered, for being you.
It's the only thing I am good at, she said, other than throwing cows at people.
Wax frowned.
That is something Wayne said on occasion, she said.
In response to that, he looked to the sky.
Thank you, Wayne, wherever you are, for letting me have this, for making me live.
She forced him inside then so he could sit. He wasn't supposed to put weight on that leg, cast or no cast, even if he could cheat by making himself lighter. Unfortunately, Kath had been a little quicker than she'd expected, and the kids were already back from the Harms estate down basin. So Wax, in flagrant disregard for medical instructions, knelt and scooped Max up in an embrace.
Daddy, Max said, you did it! Kath says you did it!
Did it? He asked.
Stop the bad guys! Save the world!
I suppose, Wax said, I did a little of both. Wayne helped a lot, though.
Janet at school, Max continued, says that you're also supposed to get the girl when you save the world. But that part is stupid. I don't like girls.
What? Wax said. Not even mommy?
Dad,
Max said with an exaggerated sense of long-suffering, as if this were the most obvious thing a boy had ever had to describe.
Mommy's not a girl. She's a mom.
Steris smiled, moving over by Kath as Wax took little Tindwill and held her tight, letting her grab at his sideburns.
This came for you,
Kath said softly, taking a letter from her handbag.
A short time ago. It looked important. Thank you,
Steris said, taking the letter, which was addressed to her, and noting the governor's seal on the front. Her panic was immediate. She'd worried about this. She'd written down the possibility, but surely it wouldn't. It couldn't. She ripped it open, her hands shaking with terror. He'd need a new vice governor now that he'd formally fired Adawathwin. Surely he wouldn't.
Dear Steris Harms-Ladrian, I would like to meet with you and discuss a possible appointment in my government. Considering your invaluable service during the recent crisis...
Oh, no, not that.
I have decided to ask you to accept a position as the city's disaster preparations officer. I would assign you a seat on my council and provide a task force for your use, ensuring the city is prepared and outfitted for any and all potential disasters or relevant dangers. Please reply with times that will work for you so we can sit down and talk. On a more personal level, I'd like to give you my most sincere thanks. I'm being hailed as a hero and a decisive leader. I would not deserve either of those accolades without your intervention.
Disaster? Preparations, officer?
She blinked. Why, that wasn't terrifying at all. That might actually be fun. Wax gave Tindwill to Kath, then hobbled over to Steris, nodding passively as Max explained at length about the new marbles game he'd been playing. Looking over her shoulder, Wax read the letter, then took her by the elbow.
Steris, he said, that's wonderful.
I don't deserve it, she said. The tsunami wasn't nearly as bad as I'd feared it would be.
Love, Wax said, you do deserve it.
She turned to look him in the eyes.
What if instead of quoting Wayne, he said softly, we honored him in a different way? What if we decided to make an effort to let ourselves be happy? What do you think of that, Lady Ladrian?
I think, Lord Ladrian, I should like that very, very much.
And she could already imagine an entire list of plans to make certain it happened.